quickly review what we went over last week, just in case you weren't here, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on, but we do want to review, kind of catch ourselves up. Last week, we described the nature of the problem that we're facing. We defined what a biblical worldview is. We discussed the biblical reasons we should develop a biblical worldview. We examined the class time main objective. All right. We looked at some statistics. The shocking thing was how many pastors don't have a biblical worldview. And on top of that, how many Christians don't. But hopefully by the time this class is finished, you'll be spurred on a little bit to look at things a little bit different. We looked at some quotes from famous people concerning biblical worldview. All right. Our objectives today, we're going to discover what are the vital questions of life that a worldview tries to answer. Okay, this is not just, you know, getting saved. There's every major question about life needs to be answered by your view or your religious view, your worldview. Okay? We're going to understand the birth, the growth, and the damaging effects that an alien worldview will have upon any society. We're going to watch a little video, and when you see this video, it'll embed in your mind forever what an alien worldview will do. All right. We'll study how we can discern an alien or false worldview, and we'll evaluate where our present worldview currently stands. In other words, we'll give you a little test. I think some of you took it before. It's only a 10-question test, but it'll show you your thinking as opposed to biblical thinking or world thinking. Okay, I have a hand. Tom, hand me those. If you could give those to Bob. I think I got about 35 of those. If we need any more, we'll run some off. What these are the 12 major questions that we try to answer. So every religion will try to answer these questions in some way, every philosophy. And that's why when we say that there is a religion in the schools, because they're trying to teach answers to these questions. We say there's a religion that comes across from the news media, that's because they're trying to answer or influence your thinking in these areas. So as soon as Bob hands those out, we'll just briefly look at a couple of those. Thomas, let me have your sheet here. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we're going to just quickly look at it so we do see, as I said, every religion, every worldview, every philosophy, and why it's important. All right? Everybody have one? All right, so these are the big 12. A viable worldview must offer adequate answers to these questions. And we said this, everybody has a religious view of life. Remember I said that? Everything in life is religious. Believe it or not, I got to witness to a girl yesterday. But I started talking with her, and the guy behind the counter says, he's a preacher. He just says this to this girl out of clear blue. Because I've gone in there, I've talked with the guy, and after a few questions, this girl says, "Is your name Mr. Wolin?" And I started laughing. I'm like, "How's she know me?" She goes, "Oh, I played softball for you a couple summers ago when you were one of the coaches of the Wild." And I didn't remember her because she was only there for a few games, and then she went to play for another team. But she was going to Adrian, so we got to talking. And she told me she just graduated from Divine Child. Where's Matt at? He's not here yet, is he? All right, another Divine Child girl. If you remember last week, he was telling you about the nuns that were teaching him differently. But to make a long story short, we got to talk for 45 minutes. I think I ate 15 scoops of ice cream witnessing to her. But the whole conversation started because she told me she was going to college, and I asked her, what is she studying? And from there, it led into a worldview that she had. And she wouldn't let me go. She kept asking questions, wanting to know, well, how's religion affect this? How's religion affect that? And the guy that introduced us, he came down here and stood there. So we see that, as we said, your worldview, your religion, your philosophy should answer these questions. What is the ultimate reality? In school, kids are being taught there's one ultimate reality, and that's what you can see, smell, hear, taste, feel. There is no spiritual realm. Okay? But for us as Christians, yes, we believe there's a real realm there, but there's also a spiritual realm that's just as real is this realm. And so the way you look at reality, you remember the movie The Matrix? You know, he thought he was living the real life, didn't he? Until he decided he wanted to know what the Matrix really was, and the guy said, well, all I offer you is the truth. Took the pill and woke up in this world, and, you know, the other guy said, man, I want to go back to the other world. You know, made a deal with the computer guy. But it was the real world was the world that he woke up in. And so it's a kind of a great analogy of what it's like in Christian life. This is a real world, but there's an even more real world after this life. So the ultimate reality, what is knowledge? Where did we come from? The origin. We talked a little bit about that. Where did we come from? In school, they teach you came what? Just a long process of evolution. That you're nothing more but a highly evolved ape. And we'll see some quotes as we get into it. You wouldn't think these guys should be even teaching in colleges. But they are. What's a Christian view? I asked this girl yesterday, I said, well, where did you come from? And all of a sudden, the dumbfounded look, it was like she wanted to tell me, well, we evolved, didn't we? And I said, is that what they taught you over at, Divine Child? And then she says, no. I said, because Jesus, the Bible teaches you that he's the creator, correct? And she goes, yeah. And she began to understand that there's a conflict between those two views of life. So we go down there. It'll tell you about your location. Where am I? We know we're here because God had a preordained plan for each one of our lives, right? We see that all through the Scripture, that God is in control of everything. The values, morality, resolution, past and present, our destiny. These are all questions that a worldview will try to answer. We'll get into this a little bit more as we go on. All right, so what does an alien worldview do? We're going to watch a little video. It's going to take about 10 minutes. Most of you have seen this movie. If you haven't, I would encourage you to watch it. The War of the Worlds. This is the remake with Tom Cruise. And here comes Donna. All right, while Donna's setting up, we're going to watch this after the video. We'll break free here and we'll think about this. All right, so where'd Thomas go?
He got called out for a ship and they had an emergency down there.
Oh.
I don't know why he can't be in two places.
All right, well, in that case, line up. We'll eat first, then we'll come back and watch the video. Oh, hang on, we got Ed here.
Oh, we got Ed.
Ed, we got Ed. Who needs time? We got Ed. All right, hit the lights there if you would. Is the sound on? Now watch this closely. This, like I said, yeah, always pre-test it. We're going to have to fire Tom. Dave and Debbie, go get your daughter, or your daughter, your son. Yes. Yeah, what's up, Doc? What's everybody looking at? Okay, now the reason I showed you this is because there's a lot of symbolism in this movie. A lot of times you'll see things. And the best way to impress it upon your heart is to get it in your mind. And so as you're watching through this, let's go back and see. I'm going to title this, What Does an Alien Worldview Do? Well, obviously in this movie, if you saw the original, you see the Martians land. They try to conquer the world. And they destroy everything that is in their way. But this is a very symbolic movie as to what a false view of the world will actually do. So let's look and see what it'll do. First thing, if you remember, when the lightning was hitting, they were actually implanting Martians inside these machines that had been buried there for many, many years. All right? So the first thing we need to know about an alien worldview is planted as a seed by alien forces. You go back into the history of this country, what you'll see is this was a Christian country, wasn't it? Is it a Christian country anymore? According to President Obama, it is not. Okay? And so it's been a seed had been planted back in the 1800s, developed, watered through the early 1900s. We moved further and further away from God, and another view of the world has come in because this nation was a Christian nation founded upon Christian principles. But once you allow that other seed to get in like dandelions in your front yard, you don't take care of those things are going to begin to spread, and eventually you have a yard full of dandelions and not nice green grass. So in our society, we got to understand that there's always various seeds that are trying to be planted. And that's what we said, when kids go into schools, there's a seed being planted in their mind and their heart, a secular humanism. If you watch the TV, there's a seed that's favorable towards Islam or favorable towards all these screwy religions. You go back 40 years ago, that stuff never would have flown. If you would have had a disaster, a school shooting, they're not bringing in all the yahoos to do a memorial service. You know, watch some of these things afterwards and you'll see that, you know, we become polytheistic, that all these gods are now welcomed into the public arena. So we see the first thing in this movie, and we didn't see that, but these things were actually planted many, many years before they came to life, all right? So there's always a seed. How about Christianity? We plant a seed, don't we? The sower goes out and he threw the seed. Some fell on the path, some was eaten by the bird. So we have a seed to plant too. And this is why our worldview, we've got to plant it in foreign lands and other people's minds and their hearts. And that's why we're constantly at battle, whether it's in the school, whether it's in society, whether it's in entertainment. You see Christianity being marginalized more and more and more and more. All right? So we got to plant seeds. We got to be just as diligent. All right. This seed will begin to emerge when the conditions are right. Just like you're planting flowers. You got flowers, you plant them. Are they going to grow if you plant them in sand? No. You've got to put them in good soil. You get the topsoil and you plant it in there. Just like this thing began to emerge when the conditions were right for the aliens. Let me ask you this. Are conditions right for all these foreign ideas in our nation today? And one we see really ascending, is going to ascend, is Islam. All right? Secular humanism there, but secular humanism will be devoured by Islam if given enough time and if there's not a revival, reformation among Christians in this nation. Okay? So it'll begin to emerge. We see the emergence. I was listening to President Obama on some of these YouTube videos, and he was bragging about how many mosques were now in the United States. Almost 2,000. And he was hailing this as progress. You know what I saw? I saw these things planted, beginning to emerge. Let's go on. It'll attract a curious audience. What happened when that lightning hit and everybody what? They went. You remember on the day of Pentecost when the fire fell and the wind blew, did it attract the crowd? Yeah. But guess what? The same thing will happen with the false worldviews or the false religions. It will attract a curious crowd. They want to know what is going on. One of the things that amazes me today is when I drive around Melvin and I see a lot of white girls walking around with a headscarf. And I'm going, they're not from the Middle East, but they've married into it. They were curious. The schools are curious. How many people are visiting? It's unbelievable how many people are going. And now you go into the jails in the United States, and you know what? The Muslims are in there, and they're planting their seed. Okay? And they're attracting an audience. They're saying things that sound really attractive to people who are going through things. Especially in the black community, they were teaching responsibility and self-accountability and all these different things that a lot of these young men didn't have. But because they're working the jails, they're getting converts to that religion. And so it's going to attract a curious audience, just like we saw in the movie there. They all came to where that lightning was hitting, wanting to know what in the world is going on. It will cause people to believe the impossible. People in Islam, do they believe the impossible? Yes, they do. Okay? If you understand Islam, and I'm just using that. How about secular humanism? Does it cause them to believe the impossible? Do they believe it? Yeah. You know what they believe? They believe that life just spontaneous arose. Okay, that was proved wrong. You know, that life did not come from garbage sitting in a dump somewhere. But yet, that is the foundation of what they believe. And then they believe through all these processes of all these miracles that something came from nothing, life came from non-life, intelligence came from non-intelligence, and it just ascended up the ladder. How about in Christianity? Do we believe the impossible? Yeah. I mean, we know with God all things are possible, but it looks impossible. When Lazarus was called out of the tomb, that looked impossible, didn't it? But yet with God all things are possible. How about when Christ rose? His own disciples couldn't even believe it. So these things not only pertain to an alien worldview, but they'll pertain to a Christian worldview too. All right, will cause minor ripples at first. Remember, they're standing around that hole. And all of a sudden, begin to go up and down. Same thing today. back in the 20s, the minor ripples begin to occur in our society. If you remember the Scopes trial, the monkey trial, where they were evolution and creation were in the schools, and there was a lawsuit brought. And nobody thought that it was going to be that big of a deal. But that initiated a move away from a Christian foundation in our schools towards a secular worldview. All right? Will be followed by major convulsions and upheavals. First you have the minor ones, like an earthquake, you get the little tremors, and then all of a sudden, here comes the mother load. All right? And so we're quickly approaching that in a couple different areas. We have, like I said, secular humanism. We have Islam. Those are the competing worldviews that are now trying to win the day in this nation. And you saw when the major convulsions begin to happen, what happened to the entire little area around there? They're going to be destroyed, didn't it? And let me tell you, when these worldviews come into a culture, they will begin to systematically destroy everything that's there. Look at the nations of Islam throughout the world. Are they prosperous nations?
No.
Every nation that it has gone into, they have destroyed the culture. Everyone. They may be low, go to Saudi Arabia, but that's because they have the dealings with the West and they have freedom there for outside contractors to come in. You go to Afghanistan, go into Iraq, go into Saudi Arabia, most of that, go into Yemen, go into these nations and the major upheavals. These people are under tyrants. They are being persecuted. It doesn't matter if you kill somebody. You can justify it on a religious basis. Then there will come the emergence of an uncontrollable monster. And we'll see that. And some of you younger people, you got to understand, this is a place we're headed to real quick. Our nation is being influenced by Sharia law, but it's also being influenced by secularism and political correctness. And these are views that are contrary to Christianity. And that's why this movie is so good. It's called War of the Worlds, but it could easily be War of the World Views or religious views. The church will be the first target set for destruction. That's why I love this video. Did you notice how many showed that church in the background? Every scene. So I said this was brilliant, you know, especially for this class. Why did they keep showing that church? And then as that thing began to emerge, what happened? Nope, that steeple came down. That was very symbolic. When these things, when a false worldview begins to emerge, the church will be the first thing to be attacked. Why? Because it's a contrary worldview. It's a contrary philosophy or idea. You go to Iraq, you go to Syria, you go to Egypt today. Where are all the Christians? Anybody been following the news the last 6 months? Anybody know? Take a guess. Bob, where are the Christians at in those countries nowadays? They're in jail, or the majority of them have fled. Because they're being hunted down and they're being killed. But it's not being reported. But you have to go to some of the sites, some of the evangelical sites that deal with world missions. Iraq and Syria and Turkey used to be Christian nations. In fact, Turkey, we read about in the book of Revelations, all seven churches in the book of Revelation, guess what nation they were in? Turkey. What's Turkey today? It's a Muslim. They call it secular country, but it's not. It's quickly being infiltrated by the more radical elements, but it's the birth of that is out of Islam.
Even okay. The countries that the Christians are fleeing to, they don't want them. That's why they're in refugee camps just up in limbo.
Yep.
Nobody wants them.
Yep. And our president has been supplying arms to the radical elements who are hunting down the Christians, and not one word is being said. Not one word. And you won't see him defending the Christians of these nations. But you'll see him siding with the Muslims. All right? So the church will be the first target set for destruction. We have to understand that. We are in their crosshairs. But guess what? They are in our crosshairs also. I said this, one day that mosque in Jerusalem is going to make a nice church. Okay? And we have to be just as aggressive, even more so. Because this is what Jesus was talking about, going to all the world preaching the gospel. Our gospel is going to bring offense, but it's going to bring a change to that nation. That's why it's so important, because it's the right view of life. It's the right way to live life. It's the right way to be in relationship with the one true God.
You don't see that on TV.
No.
Just show the what Islam's doing, what the world culture's doing, how it's spreading and everything.
Right.
But that is not the truth. If you look in neighborhoods, like we go over and pray, people in this church getting houses, moving into the neighborhoods, that's how the church builds itself from the ground up.
You're exactly right. And it's taking dominion. And as we somebody's view is going to win. So I watch the rest of it. And we'll ultimately try to destroy or enslave mankind. Now, the Christian worldview is not trying to, it is trying to enslave mankind in the sense that we're going to be slaves to who? To Christ. But it's destroying the old way of life so that we can have a new way of life. But every other philosophy or the religious view will enslave them and put them under a law system that will dictate to them the way they should live. All right? So every one of them, I don't care. Let me ask you, is this secularism? Do they try to dictate to us how to live? Oh, yeah. You can't bring your religion into the public arena. Or you can't pray in the schools, or you can't do this, or you can't talk about creationism. You can't bring a Bible into school if you're a teacher. Charlie.
No, Pastor, I just want is this thing on? You know, I just want to say one thing about that. You bring up a valid point, but also in the Dearborn schools, they have like two different times of the year where they have one holiday, Ramadan, and one Eid. And let me just say it this way. Our school district, which I graduated from, doesn't really go with the full length, the full letter of the law, the number of days required by law. But and how I don't know, but you know, And I think that has to do with some of it.
Right, oh yeah, there's a lot of political pressure. In fact, my wife would tell you that there was a group that came into the Melvindale High School just a few months ago, wanting to know what the school district was going to do for the Muslim kids. They wanted a prayer room. They wanted halal food. They wanted what? And guess what? Walk into the school now, and you'll see the names outside the teacher's room, are they not written in Spanish and Arabic? All right. So they're not afraid to push their agenda. And if you don't side with them, they're going to come after you. Okay?
That's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
We should have been over there first asking to come in, could we get a pastor in and pray over every meal before they eat it? Can we have a Bible study room? We should have been there first asking for what we wanted. Why that's working is because we're silent.
That's right. That's right. All right, we'll seek to dominate the world. In this movie, the Martians want to dominate the world. Are we to dominate the world? Yes, we are to take dominion. That was called the commission from Eden. Go into all the world, okay? Adam and Eve were told to what? To take dominion over the world, to use the world resources, to multiply, to bring a blessing to God. But every worldview will try to seek to dominate the world, whether it's secular humanism, whether it's atheism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Hinduism, whatever it is, will ultimately have a goal to bring that into all the world. Mankind will be powerless against its advances. They could not fight against these things. If you see the rest of the movie, you don't have time to do it, but their planes, their tanks, everything was powerless against it. Unless it can only be destroyed by another life form. In the movie, remember what killed all the aliens?
Bacteria.
They have an immune system to it. And the good news is that we are just as powerful because we have the Holy Spirit who empowers us. And nothing can stand. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the advance of the kingdom of God has been ever since the day of Pentecost. It's grown and it's grown and it's grown. And there are areas that it's had to retreat because of the negligence, because of the idea that the church there that, hey, nothing's going to upset instead of being diligent about what God has asked them to do. And like I said, when I was talking to that young girl yesterday, and I said, you graduated from Divine Child? And I gave her the basic Catholic test and couldn't pass it. Very simple. All right, so we see it can only be destroyed by another life form worldview by which it has no defense. And that is Christianity. And that is why this class is so important. All right, so we're going to pick up here next week how we can destroy an alien worldview. All right, any questions? Did that movie make sense? Sometimes you see a movie and then you can replay it in your head and you say, okay, there was a seed that was planted. It began to emerge. It began to cause destruction. It went after the church and then to destroy all humanity. Yes, Kathy.
They couldn't have picked a better person to play in that movie because Tom Cruise loves the aliens because he's a Scientologist.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. If you don't know about Scientology, next time Bob has his cult class, definitely check in on that because it's really good.
They actually believe in aliens.
Yeah, we got them just infiltrating all. All right. Bob, would you close us in prayer? And I know we're a little bit
thank you, Lord.
Longer
thank
there, but
you,
we
Lord.
Will.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that we still live in a free country that we can sit and listen to a class like this, Father God. Father, we know that will never end, Father God. Your reign will never end. The world will never end. Christianity wins in the end. We have looked at the back of the book, Father God. We know the outcome, Father God. But our job is to make sure that happens. You chose to use us to further your word, Father God. Give us the unction and courage, Father God, the knowledge and will to step out against something that may look more powerful than us, but it's only smoke and mirrors, Father God. The smallest thing, just like this movie, the smallest thing can kill the largest thing, Father God. Never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit within
us,
Father God. Lord, we pray for service, Father God, as we go down, Father God, that you just pour your Spirit out on everyone that enters those doors, Father God. Anyone that walks by, anyone that's even thinking of coming to church today, Father God, you pour your Spirit on them and draw them, Father God. Let it begin here today, Father God. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.